My name is Victor Kubik, President of the United Church of God. My guests today are two gentlemen from Canada, from the United Church of God. One is a Director of Operations of the Canadian Work, Tony Wasilkoff, and the other is Rainer Saloma, who is pastor of congregations in Calgary, Lethbridge, Red Deer, and Regina in Saskatchewan and in Alberta. These are two individuals that I have known for over 50 years, would you believe? And they have known each other for a long time before that. Actually, they've known each other since boyhood. And we're here in Big Sandy, Texas, at the Council of Elders meetings that are being held. We're right in the middle of them. And I thought we'd have opportunity here to sit down and talk about the work that they do in Canada and share some of the experiences.
Well, thank you, Victor. We're really happy to be here with you. I might add one more thing, that the three of us first met in 1966 when we were all three freshmen at Ambassador College in Pasadena. Who would have thought all these years later we'd still be working together and spending time together? Thank you for inviting us here for the podcast. Presently, I pastor the church in Toronto, Ontario, and also the congregation in Ottawa, which is the capital city. We average about 75. Wonderful, wonderful congregation. My wife and I love serving there. And 4 hours away is the Ottawa congregation, which, as I said, is the capital city of the country. And we have a congregation there of about 35, unique in that it has a lot of, which is unusual in this day and age, a lot of young couples with wonderfully active children. They're involved with the takedown after church and help with chairs, and you ought to visit someday. So this is a promo. Come and see Toronto. Okay. Come and see Ottawa.
Well, I've been there a couple of times, but it's been about 3 years or so since I've been there. Now, Rainer, you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the areas that you serve, and we'll talk more about how we work together.
Well, thank you, Vic. I've been in the ministry. I was hired full-time to be a ministerial trainee in 1971 to work with Gary Ante in Toronto. And then I was set up a year later to start the congregation in Sudbury. I wasn't even ordained yet, but Dean Wilson gave me a ministerial trainee to work with me. And we were there 8 years, actually three congregations. And that's where we started raising our two girls, pastored churches in Western Canada, currently live in Calgary. And it's one of the more favorable cities in all the world. So home of the Calgary Stampede. We close to the mountains, a lovely congregation. Then out of Calgary, I look after Red Deer to the north, Lethbridge to the south, and Regina in Saskatchewan.
Well, I want to tell you about how I met these two gentlemen. First of all, both of them were in my class in California, in Pasadena, California, Ambassador College. We all came in 1966. Yeah. And I remember Rainer, he came a little bit late. He was late about a week or so coming to college because of some issues with family and just getting to, but I remember him kind of coming on campus, and I befriended him because I was sort of like him. I mean, I wasn't really connected with the group in Pasadena. I just found out about the church through the college, actually, and hardly attended any church before I came to college. And then Tony also was that same year, and I remember him so well for my speech class. I remember we were in speech class, we gave speeches, we evaluated one another.
It's interesting you should bring this up, Victor, and I appreciate that, because what I do now, as all of us, three of us do now, for the most part, or perhaps more than I ever thought, is speaking, or public speaking included. And at that time, I detested public speaking, and it was absolutely abhorrent to me, so that when we had class, I was afraid days in advance that it would be speech class or ambassador club. And I began worrying on Sunday because Tuesday was ambassador club, and it was causing conniptions for me. Now, if I can just interject one more thing, one other thing we have in common is that the three of us came to Ambassador, and it was a fight for us to get there because we became individually Sabbath keepers as teenagers. and that's highly unusual to become Sabbath keepers as teens when family wasn't necessarily in favor of this. We had to fight to come to Ambassador. It was a joy to be there. And I never dreamed that 50 years later, we would still be friends, would still be observing the Sabbath, would still be working together. That is so unusual in this day of so much turnover. It's continuity and friendship that is stellar. I am so thankful for God's blessing in that regard.
I'm so thankful, likewise, for the way God has blessed us. I hated speech as well, because it took me forever to prepare a 6.5-minute speech. On the day of the speech class, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and be writing and rewriting my notes. And then I would stand up there and kind of have a hard time getting through what I had to get through. And I was not one of those most likely to succeed types. You know, who would have thought that of our class, Rainer, myself, and Tony would end up here?
It is so. I do remember that when an announcement was made that I was being sent out into the field, as was the case then, the instructor, I could name him, but I won't, said, okay, you're a dark horse. We're betting on you as a dark horse. So I can certainly say I was not among those who was possible to succeed. And with God's blessing, the three of us have been able to serve the church in ways that no one imagined would be possible.
And I think that Rainer has a similar story. He was not one of the star quarterbacks of the class.
What happens when you fail grade one?
Now you're chairman of the board, or the chairman of the National Council.
The least likely to succeed. Actually, when I graduated from Brickett Wood, the list where all his graduating students are going, and back then virtually everybody was hired, but my name was not announced. I've only been there for 6 months the last semester. So I went and talked to Raymond McNair, and I said, you know, what do you think I should do? He said, well, what do you want to do? I said, well, I'm working in mail reading here. Maybe Dean Wilson will hire me in the Vancouver office to work in mail reading. So he said, I'll give him a call. So I gave him a call, and sure enough, Dean Wilson said, oh, we'll hire him. So at the end of that summer, after I graduated, I bought a motorcycle, toured Scandinavia for 2 months, washed dishes in a hotel to pay my way, and then started working in mail reading. And I thought that's pretty well my career. About a year later, Dean Wilson, and I hadn't spoken, given an opening or closing prayer in Vancouver for a year, and Dean Wilson sent Claudia and I to Toronto to help out Gary Antion. Never given a sermon at a church. My very first sermonette was on the way to Toronto and Winnipeg. And that's the beginning of my public speaking. But I can remember when I first came into church, before I go to church, I would pray I would not be called on for opening or closing prayer.
I sometimes wrote the part of the prayer on the back of my hand so I could look down.
You cheated.
But I know that too, in my senior year, I was not one of those who was sort of destined to be in the ministry. I thought it would be wonderful to be in the ministry, but I thought it was just above my abilities. And I actually dropped out of speech class my second semester. I talked to the men's counselor. I said, I don't really think that since I'm not going to the ministry, he agreed with me, by the way, and that I should just drop speech class for the second semester. But then when the second semester started, my name was on the class list, so I thought, well, maybe that's something from God, you know, and I better just go to class. So I did. I never challenged that. But even then, I never gave a sermonette or anything. And even when they announced the names of those who were to go into the ministry at the end of the year, usually about April or so, I was not on that list.
Victor, you mentioned stories, and forgive me for interjecting, and this is an awesome opportunity. Working in the Toronto office, I once received a letter from one of our subscribers, and it was addressed to me, and the letter said the following, and I'm putting it in my own words, saying, I'm a subscriber to Beyond Today magazine, and I'm wondering if you're the Tony Wasilkoff, because we get letters from the director of operations, are you the Tony Wasilkoff that I knew in grade one back in Saskatchewan?
And there can't be that many 20 miles.
That's correct. That name is not often duplicated. I never have to worry about any kind of check abuse of signatures. That is, so I wrote back and said, yes, I am the very one and the same and that he and I and his brother were in grade school together. I think he was 1 year behind, and his brother exactly the same grade as I. Our birthdays were one day apart. But all those years later, you come across someone you knew in grade school, and he happens to be aware of Beyond a Day magazine and a subscriber to it. So it is a small world for the three of us and other connections that we have had respectively.
Now let's kind of turn our conversation towards the work of God in Canada. It has a membership attendance, what, 400 or 500 or so?
That's correct. We're between 500 to 600 average attendance on the typical Sabbath.
Right. And it has a tremendous group of ministers that, you know, serve that area. Tony, in your planning and your overall scope of doing things, I would like to hear from you about what you can tell our listeners here about where we're going with the Canadian future in the church.
We have in Canada, and I will ask Rainer if you don't mind to comment on what something similar comes to mind for him, and particularly the composition of the National Council, because it is unique. But if you look at Canada, we have congregations coast to coast. So we have congregations on Vancouver Island and an elder to help serve them. John Elliott, who serves out of the United States, we're very, very grateful to have him assigned our way. And Peter Corrigan, David Palmer on the West Coast. Then if you go all the way to the East Coast, where Victor, you have been, and that's Newfoundland, we have an elder there, Ellsworth Stanley, yes. and David Squibb, who is a deacon, a congregation who is there. So coast to coast, we have congregations. And then if you go through the provinces, through the major cities, there are congregations in virtually all of them with pastors and elders and deacons and wonderful, wonderful congregations. I might also add, too, since this is going to be listened to, that we have Feast of Tabernacles planned for Osoyoos, B.C. That is a feast site there, one for Cochrane, Alberta, which is right in Rainer Saloma's backyard, another one in Midland, Ontario, which is just outside of Toronto. And for 2020, we're planning to have a feast in Cape Breton. That's the northern part of Nova Scotia, Cape Breton, where the feast coordinator, the major feast coordinator, Charles Mollier, on his mother's side, his family hails from Cape Breton Island.
Wow.
They're Scottish, and that explains his thrifty side.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm going to bug him about that. So I'd like to hear more about the council. I don't believe it's just all some lay people, right, on the council?
We have, by our bylaws, we have two lay members, and then we also have a combination of full-time elders and non-salaried elders, usually about 4 salaried, about 3 non-salaried. It can vary a bit. And it's worked out well for us. You get a good perspective. You get business people, and we function well. The challenge is, at our age, we're having to start looking around for replacements. And with a small congregation base, as far as numbers to choose from, it's a challenge. We have a younger ministerial trainee right now, and we ordained Warren Poffenroth in Calgary. We consider him young. He's in his 50s. And we have Paul Wozniakoff moved. We moved him from Cincinnati. So we're doing our best to try to get our ducks in line to start replacing us as we begin to retire.
I'd like both of you to have one final statement to make to everyone about your work in Canada and your thoughts and perhaps requests for prayers for certain things. Let's start with Tony.
There are more things wrought by prayer than men dream of. And please, as you listen to the podcast, remember the growth of the work in the United States. It is a locomotive for the rest of the world. And we international areas highly appreciate the dedication of the brethren in the USA for the tithes and offerings. The staff that work at the home office make things possible for internationals. In Canada, please come and see Canada sometime. Visit us at the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes, this is a promo. Come and see us sometimes. The brethren, they're very warm, very friendly. They'll welcome you in each of the congregations. We're relatively small, but we're determined to preach the gospel with the resources we receive to Canadians coast to coast, because these are difficult times, as both Victor, you and Rainer have said, and time is short. We don't know how much time remains, but we have a big job to do. With God's help, we'll do the best we can, and hopefully God will call more people before the end finally does come.
Well, thank you very much, Tony. You know, we really think about Canada all the time. You're in our prayers, in our thoughts, and our people are thinking of you. And also, we do realize the responsibility that we have being in America, which is the most affluent part, you know, of the church in the world, contains a lion's share not only of people, but also responsibility. You know, we feel a certain sense of, hey, we have to feed our family. You know, we have to feed people around the world, even though you are self-sufficient in many ways. We still have to provide content for you, and we say, how can we do it? And at times, honestly, it's not easy, and we don't sometimes see even the progress that we would like to see, but we do know that we're doing all we can. We are preaching a pure message of not only hope, but a message of warning to the people, as the prophets did, and it was a message that was not really always received. Yes. We don't have a smooth message to just make people feel good.
Well, this has been just a wonderful, wonderful podcast, as far as I'm concerned, with the guests, the wonderful guests that we have here, with Rainer Saloma, and is the chairman of the National Council in Canada. He's been able to share his thoughts. And also, we are here with the director of operations from the Canadian Work, Tony Wasilkoff. So thank you for joining us on Inside United. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Come back soon for more.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.